a good steward.
Romans 14:2 says, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Matthew 12:36 says, you will have to give account for every idle word that you speak. 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, ministers are accountable to give the mysteries and the word of God. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man has received the gift, meaning the gift of love, the gift of salvation, minister the same. Minister that love as good stewards of the manifest grace of God. Stewards is what every believer is. Good stewards are to show forth the love of God. Now, who are stewards? You may be sitting back there and say, well, from what I've read to you in 1 Corinthians 4, I'm the steward. I'm the chief steward of the church. But you are all stewards. Stewards are preachers. Stewards are teachers. Stewards are elders. Stewards are bishops, deacons, deaconesses. Every believer is a steward. You and I are stewards. What is a steward? We read that word and sometimes we don't connect. A steward is a manager, a trustee. You are a trustee of God's love. You are a trustee of His word. You are a trustee of everything that God entrusts to you. What are we stewards of? We're stewards of money. We're stewards of time, abilities, opportunities, talents, time, calling, giving, and doing. All those things fall under the category of being a trustee. Not everybody has a calling to be a minister. Not everybody has a calling to be a teacher. But you do have a calling, whether it's to work in the nursery, whether it's to be an usher or a deacon, whether it's to help with communion. God will begin to move out with you as you look to Him and seek Him out. Every man, as he purposes in his heart, Scripture tells us, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We've taken this Scripture and we've used it for collections. We've used it for offerings. It does not just refer to money. Everything you have is something that God has given you to use for Him. Amen. Your talents, your abilities, your capabilities are all to be a witness of His goodness and greatness. Now, a good steward, first of all, tithes. Tithing is not something that you do when you feel like it or as the mood strikes. Tithing is something that you do all the time. The tithe is God's. It tells us in the Old Testament, it is holy unto the Lord. That's why we bring our tithe as a form of worship, because it's holy unto the Lord. We don't just put our ushers and say, okay, go past the basket. When you bring your tithe, you're bringing it to the altar of God. When you bring your offering, you're doing it as unto the Lord. That's what I'm trying to get you to see as you bring your tithe up. That's why we do it at the end of our worship, while you can still stay in the worship mode. Because as you are worshiping, you're bringing your tithes and you're bringing your offerings. You're not plunking them in the basket. You're speaking over them as you come forward. You're giving them as an offering and a sacrifice unto the Lord. You put it in the basket, which is held by a man here, but it represents laying it at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. How great our worship must be in our tithing and in our giving. We don't give until we tithe. You may say, well, I give X amount here and I give this. You do not give until you tithe. The first cent belongs to God. A Christian that's unwilling to give or tithe is really robbing God. That's what He says to us in Malachi 3. Will a man rob me? And you say, well, how am I robbing you, God? I'm doing all that I know to do. By not bringing your tithes and your offerings, you rob me. Your attitude and my attitude towards money is your attitude towards life. You may not realize that, but that's true. Why does God want you to tithe? Does he need your money? He doesn't need your money. He owns it all. But he cannot tithe, he cannot bless you unless you are obedient, and tithing is obedience to him. So, your attitude towards your money is your attitude towards life. Are you going to live it up and enjoy life here? Or are you looking at eternal life later? The choice is yours. Matthew 25:15. We see where the master gave three servants three different amounts of money and what they do with them. And let's just turn there for a minute, because we're going to look at this not as a money type thing, but that as you, as a steward, are going to be obedient to do what you need to do. Beginning with verse 15. Well, first of all, 14. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. God has given you his goods. He has put within every person here the ability to love. Because if you know Jesus Christ, you have his love in you. If you have his love in you, you cannot go through life, whether it's on a day-to-day basis or in church on Sunday, in your own little world. You have got to reach out to those that hurt, because when they hurt, you hurt, because that's what love does. Love gives. Love does not give out of ritual or rote. Love gives because it loves. That's why God gave us Jesus. And that should be the whole motive of our giving, of our giving of ourselves, of our time, of everything else. You may say, well, I do my part. I come to church. I pray. I read the scriptures every day. I put out the word. But does anybody see you doing that? Yes, the Father sees you, but he also sees your attitude of heart. Are you doing it because you have to? Are you doing it because you're afraid not to? Or are you doing it as a servant unto him? Are you doing it as one who is a steward of his word? Do other people hear you speaking his word? Do other people see you moving in love? Do other people see you singing and you're just singing la la la? That's great. But if it doesn't come from here, you might as well sit down. We have got to realize, church, that we are stewards of God. As we get our things in position, God is going to bring things in. We need praisers that are going to praise. We don't need people that just stand up to stand up. We need people that are sold out to God, that it bubbles out from within them. And if we don't have that, we don't need it at all. Now, we've got to realize we are not show people. We are God's people. And if it doesn't come from your heart, everything you say and everything you do, you'd best not do it. Now, God leans on me and I lean on you. That's how this works. We're going to get things in order here. Thank you. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, you'll notice it doesn't say after a short time, after a long time, why do you suppose the Lord chose a long time to come back? Because we begin to get complacent. We begin to cool off. We begin to get lukewarm, and we begin to think, he's not going to be here for a while yet. I can do my own thing. I can live my own life. I don't have to worry. When I know he's coming, I'll shape up. When I hear his footsteps, that's when I'll get on my knees. That's when I'll begin to give my all. That's why this Lord waited, why he waited so long to come. While he was waiting, the 5 talents were making talents. The 2 talents were gaining usury, were gaining interest. And the one with the 1 talent hid it. When you hide your money, it's not going to grow. There are people, and you read about them in newspapers all the time, mostly elderly people, who have thousands and thousands of dollars in their homes, and they die. And the money is found. It could have been going for the gospel. They hide money through fear. Fear of the banks closing. Fear of a depression. Fear of this. God's word says we don't need to fear. If we're God's child and we're a steward, we have to be a good steward all the way around. We have to use what God has given us, whether in this case it be talents as money or talents that God has given you. Whatever your ability is, use it for the Lord. Don't hide it. Don't keep it buried to yourself. Give it forth. There are people who have needs in this congregation. There are people that are always going to have needs. You, as a good steward of God's money, must know where your money's going. You must put it where it's going to do the most good. Many times and for years, people have given into ministries and given into churches and don't even know where their money's going. When you get a telephone call, ask that person that's calling you to give into that ministry, how much of my money actually goes for the work of the Lord? How much of my money actually gets on the mission field? How much of my money is actually used? How much of my money is going to pay your salary to call me on the telephone? Those people do that for a living. I'm going to tell you that. They get their cut out of every dollar that's given. Make sure you know where your money is going. As a good steward of God's money, invest it in a place where the gospel goes forth. Invest it in a ministry where the gospel and the good news and the word of God goes forth. Invest it where lives are being changed. Invest it where missions are being helped. Because you will be a good steward and reap the reward. Now there are times when we give out and we give forth money and we're not being a good steward. We move on compassion, we move on pity, we move on sympathy. You've got to stop doing that. I talked to a man not very long ago who said he and his wife used to just give money everywhere, just to give. And he said they did that for years. And the Lord began to talk to them and say, wait a minute. You're giving into, you're sowing seed into ministries that are not good. You're not being a good steward. And they pulled back and they began to pray. And they began to ask God, do you want us to give here? Do you want us to give here? Do you want? And when God said no, they didn't give. It's the same thing with an individual. Now we, being good stewards and being lovers of the Lord, want everyone to be helped. But if you know that a person is not a good steward of their own money, and they continue to be in want and in need all the time because of lack of wisdom in spending, it's one thing for us to get to a rut. And from time to time, we all do. And I'm not saying that you should look at everyone and say, oh, you didn't need those new shoes, you didn't have holes in them. That's not for you to judge. I'm saying this. If a person continues to come to you and you continue to help them and help them and help them, you're not really helping them. Because the person begins to stand on your strength and not on God's. And I'm reminded of years ago, there was a young lady that there were three people in our church, not this church, the church that I was in at the time, that helped this young lady all the time. All the time. Every month it would be, I don't have the money to pay the electricity, I don't have money for food, I don't have money for this. And we would continually help her. And we did that for years. But you know what happened? She began to be dependent on us. She didn't get to be dependent on the Lord. We were her source. And so in effect, we were poor stewards because we ruined her believing in God. She just began to, well, she knew she could always touch us and we would give because we loved her. So what I'm saying to you is, in being a good steward, ask God when you should give, ask him how much, and ask him to whom. Yes, there are going to be times, and it tells us that in the Word of God, that your abundance is a supply for another's need. But then the next verse says, and their abundance will be a supply for your need. By the same token, people may help you out, and that's great, and praise God for it. When somebody wants to give you something and they know the Lord laid it on their heart, do not refuse it. They're being obedient to God and they're being a good steward. So say, all right, I'll take it with the blessing of the Lord, and I believe in God to magnify His blessings upon you for it. Nothing wrong with that. Just be obedient to God. By the same token, if you are the person that has received, and God says to you to give, oh Lord, I don't want to do that. I mean, after all, no, this is mine. What's mine is mine, what's yours is mine. Sometimes marriages work that way. What's yours is ours, but what's mine is mine. That never works. What's ours is ours, what's ours is His. And that's the way it should be. So, let's just say somebody gives you something and you can't use it. Don't hang on to it. Give it to somebody else that can use it. But don't let that be a pattern of your giving. Don't let it be, oh, I don't like this. I'm not going to. Then you give it. You see what I'm saying to you? Draw the line. You be a good steward in return to someone being a good steward to you. That's what we're here for. The body is fitly joined together. We're all here to help each other. We're all here as the church grows to continue to help each other in whatever way God would have us to. Now out of the three servants, the two got blessed. The one that received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you gave me 5, I've gained 5 more. If the Lord gives you a talent, if the Lord gives you a commission, and you go forth and you don't bring in any fruits for that commission, you will have to stand before Him, because every one of us is going to be accountable unto the Lord. The Lord said to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. When God makes you ruler over a few things, you're ruler over your home. You're ruler over your family. Wives, you're ruler over your kitchen, over your house. Husbands, you're ruler over your position as the king and the priest in the house. You're ruler over that family. You're the head. And we have to get into the position where we realize that when you use the position that God has put you into, God will bless you and give you greater responsibility. The same thing happened with the one that had 2 talents. He came and said, Lord, you gave me 2, and see, I've gained 2 more besides that. The Lord said to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Isn't it interesting that the man who had 5 talents given and the man who had 2 talents given got the same blessing? You did well. You used what I gave you. The one that got 5, did the Lord didn't say, I'm going to give you more than the one that I gave two to. You both used to the max what I gave you. That shows me, God says, that you can handle the little things, and I can put you into a greater position where you would be ruler over much. And the last one comes to the Lord, and he says, I knew you're a hard man, reaping where you haven't sown, gathering where you haven't sowed. That's not even scripture, is it? You don't reap where you haven't sown, unless Jesus is your jubilee. And then he will give you a harvest where you didn't plant, but only in those rare cases of him being your jubilee. And he was afraid, and that's his whole method of hiding, fear. And so who does fear come from? The enemy. And who was using him? The enemy. And so he says, I was afraid, and so I hid, and here's what you gave me. And the Lord isn't very pleased with him, and the Lord even calls him wicked. You wicked and lazy servant. Doesn't take any energy to dig a hole and hide a money. Doesn't take any energy not to use the talent or the ability that God has given you. In effect, when we have those abilities, when we have those talents, we are being wicked servants. We are hiding them. We're hiding them to ourselves. Oh, I don't want anybody to know that I have the joy of the Lord. When I sing, I'm not going to sing with the joy of the Lord. That's something God put within you. That's something you can't hide, or you shouldn't be able to hide. People ought to be able to see the fruit of the Spirit on us, just like you see the fruit on a tree. When you need fruit, you should be able to pick it off the tree when it's in its season. Fruit doesn't hide. You can look at a tree, drive past, or walk past and say, that's an apple tree, that's a peach tree, that's a this tree. You don't have to part the branches and say, where's that fruit? Where's that fruit? I don't see any. That's the way it should be with us. People should be able to see. If they need love, they should come to you and get love. If they need peace, they should be able to come to you and get peace. If they need an uplifting, they should be able to come to you. If they need prayer, they should be able to come to you. For heaven's sake, what kind of a steward is it that says to somebody, you know, you better forget the word here, it's not working. That's not a good steward. We need to realize that we have to be good stewards. God doesn't accept excuses. The master here that gave out the talents doesn't accept excuses. Well, Lord, you gave me this talent to sing, but I hid it, and I sing in my house just for you. Who sees that? Nobody. Oh, the Lord sees it, but you're hiding what he's given you. If he's given you an ability to talk to others and you don't, you're hiding that ability, and it is not pleasing unto him. What resources do you have that you can invest into the kingdom? Moses had a rod. He brought that rod when he came to the burning bush. God said, take that rod and use it. And he did. David had a harp. David also had a sling. He used it for the glory of the Lord. Mary had a bottle of ointment that she washed Jesus' feet with. That bottle of ointment, many of you may not know, but it was the custom in those days, especially for the wealthy, to have a beautiful, ornate jar. And in that jar was kept the spices or the ointment that was to anoint them at burial. When Mary came and washed the feet of Jesus with that ointment, that was a sacrifice of her own ointment that she was saving for her own death. She anointed him with that, and she used her hair to wipe off his feet. True humility. She sacrificed that. She gave that. What do you have that can be a sacrifice and a giving unto God? What resources do you have that Mary, like Mary had, or Moses had? You may think it's nothing. When Moses had that rod, he didn't give it any thought. Every day he went on up with that rod. But when God told him to use it, he used it. What about David with his sling? He used it to keep the animals away from his sheep, but God used it. God will use whatever resource you have available. Make everything you have available to God. What about your time? You're to be a good steward of your time. How do you manage your time? Before the television all day long? Listening to the radio? Or listening to tapes, maybe. Reading the Word, maybe. Maybe. So many times people don't take the time and they don't tithe their time, and you can tithe your time. You can tithe your time. Tithe it to God. Give him the first fruits of your day. But so many times we get so involved in the unimportant things of the world and the worldly things that we don't have much time left to give to God. And so we give him a hurried, good morning, Lord, I love you. I've got to go on my day now. Sorry, I don't have any time to wait for you, but you know my heart, Lord. You know I love you. And so off we go, and we're busy with our day. And then we wonder why the whole day goes helter-skelter. We wonder why everything comes tumbling down. Because we haven't done the right thing. We haven't put him first. We haven't been a good steward of that day. Well, you may say, well, I read and pray, but I don't have much time to do anything else, you know. I have to clean my house. I have to do this. I have to do that. Yes, I know that. I'm well aware of that. having had a big family and having had a big house, and now having a smaller home, I'm well aware of what it takes. But there are things that you can lay aside. And it took me a long time to learn that. Before I really knew the Lord, I had a 10-room house. And I used to house clean, I mean house clean, one room every week. Washed down the walls, the woodwork, the floors, the carpet, da 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 da. Every 10 weeks, my house would be thoroughly cleaned, every room. But you know what I found? If I didn't do it every 10 weeks, it really didn't matter. Nobody knew that it wasn't clean but me. And it wasn't that it was dirty in the first place. I had my priorities wrong. Then when I started spending the time with God, less got done in the house as far as the foolish things that I had been doing. But I was further ahead spiritually, and that was more important than anything else. You may say, well, I'd like to teach Sunday school, but I don't have time. When we have our choir, you may say, well, I'd like to sing in the choir, but I don't have time. When we have ministries that need to be done, but I don't have time. That's a talent. That's an ability. That's a capability that God has made you steward of. Did you ever notice, and you've all come from different churches, we all have, how always in every church you were in, there were always the same few. They helped with the dinners. They helped with the cleaning. They helped with the typing. They helped with the Sunday school. They helped with the children. They helped with the this. They helped with the that. It always seemed to be the same few. And after a while, those same few, maybe after a few years, kind of get burned out, and they think, wait a minute, isn't there anybody else? Well, that's the wrong attitude, burnout in the first place. It's a cop-out burnout. You're looking at the wrong stuff when you get burned out. When you look to God, you'll never get burned out. You get refreshed. So don't look at others and the lack that they're not. Begin to pray for them, that they take their rightful place and begin to be a good steward as God would have them to be. Intercede for others. Don't you think, and your attitude may be, I would like to teach Sunday school, but I really like to be here in the service. Let me tell you something. So do the Sunday school teachers. The pastor is in the service, but there are a lot of things that happen during the week that a pastor can't do. Not because I don't want to do them, but because I know if I do them, I don't have that time to spend before the Lord. Other things take up my time. I've got to spend some time. I've got to spend that on a daily basis, on an hourly basis with Him. Because if I let those things slide, the ministry slides, the church slides. You don't get taught. Anybody can just come up with anything to just fill in an hour. But it takes time to get the Word of the Lord and what He desires to be taught, what you need. It takes time to spend before the Lord so that you can be used in a gift. It takes time to spend before the Lord to study your lesson and to pray for the teacher, for the children in your class. That's what Sunday school teachers do. They don't just pick up a quarterly and teach for an hour and that's it. They should be praying through the week for their students. They should be praying about, Lord, how can I make this more understandable? How can I bring it down to their level? And continuing in every level of the church. We need people in the church. We need greeters, as I mentioned to you. We need prayers. We need teachers. We need a choir. We need people that are adept in music, that have talents for music, instruments. We are going to have an orchestra.
Hallelujah.
We are going to have more than one praise team. And we are thanking God for them in advance. That's why I'm saying to you, and that's why you're getting this message now, we have got to get things in order before God can begin to bring them. We've got to pray about them. We've got to begin to see them. We've got to begin to see every seat here filled. Pastor Cho in Korea, I don't know if you've ever read about his life or not. He began to see, he started out with a few people, and he began to see not just those few, but he began to see 50 or 100. He saw them when he preached. Pretty soon he had 100. When he got near the 100, he began to stretch his faith for the 500. And then for the 1,000, he's up over 10,000 now. That's a big church. But it all started with putting out his faith and beginning to see. When you come to this church, you begin to praise God. You praise Him during the week for His provision. You praise Him for the people. You praise Him for the Sunday school teachers. You praise Him because we believe that we've received. And that's what we do. Luke 12:21 says, take no thought for the things of yourself, the things of what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, those kind of things. God knows your need. Put Him before Him and say, Lord, I cast the care on You. And when you read that passage of Scripture, that take no thought means somebody has to be giving you that thought. Who do you think is giving you the thought about your provision? The enemy. Oh, you know, you don't have any clothes to wear. You can't be a greeter. You can't sing in the choir. You can't be a Sunday school teacher because. Don't take those thoughts. You can do all things through Christ. That's the thought you take, and that's the thought you keep. Nobody is too old or too young to be used in this church. And that's why I have the children in the back at this point, because I want the children to begin to be used in the gifts. And they will be. They'll be laying hands on each other. God's going to use them in prophecy. God's going to use them in a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. And when they get accustomed to ministering to each other, as the church grows, they'll minister to other children. When we get accustomed and we get into the mode of, here am I, Lord, use me, there'll be more people to be used. And that's what we have to strive for. Hebrews 6:10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work, your labor of love that you've showed toward His name, in that you've ministered to the saints. And you do still minister. You see, this isn't something we just do on occasion. It's a way of life. Christianity is not a religion. It's a way of life. It's something we do. It's something we live all the time. Good stewards are good seed sowers. They're seed sowers of the word. They're seed sowers of prayer. They're seed sowers of goods. They're seed sowers of ability. They're seed sowers of capability. Seed is sown into the right ground. It's not just thrown and it's not just dumped. That's why when we take the offering, you are to pray over your seed. You're to say the tithing prayer. Alan taught on tithing. He's taught us what to pray. He's taught us what to say. We need to do that. We need to do what we've been taught to do. When we do those things we're taught to do, you're not following Maureen in praise. You're not following Alan in tithing. You're not following me in the Word. You're following us as we follow Him. And that is how it has got to be. Our lives have got to be before God much more so because we are teaching and accountable for what we do and the way that you receive it and you learn it. 2 Corinthians 8:14 again. Your abundance is to be a supply for others. That you are to help others and that others will help you when the time comes. When you give to someone that is in a situation, they're not to get angry with you when you ask them in return. Now you don't give with the thought in mind of, okay, I'm giving this. Now, Lord, I'm expecting to be blessed by them again. You give in the giving mode knowing, Lord, Your Word says that as I give, it'll be given unto me again. You plant seed. If it isn't the seed that comes in that you want, you wait until your ripe seed comes in. But don't down the seed that you have or the fruits of that seed in the meantime. When you look at a piece of corn, you look at the package, you see the ear. It shows you that corn in the ear. When you take it out of there, it's a hard, shriveled up, little dried up kernel of corn. And you think, it doesn't look anything like the package. So you plant that. The thing that pops out of the ground first isn't that ear. It's a blade. That blade grows into a stalk. That doesn't show on the package on the envelope either. That stalk gets an ear. The ear that first comes on that stalk doesn't look like the finished package either, but the end result is what was on the picture. That's what I'm telling to you this morning. Whatever you sow, you see it as seed sown. If God sends you something in the meantime, Linda, for example, you're believing God for a car, for a van. You've sown seed for a minivan. God's given you a vehicle in the meantime. Don't down that vehicle. You praise God for it. His will is to get you until your harvest manifests. You see what I'm saying? Somebody gives you clothes. Well, they're not what I really wanted. I mean, after all, I like those ones with the sequins and the bangles. This doesn't have anything like that. So you wear it until what you want comes into fruition. You don't set it aside and say, forget this. It doesn't work. I sowed this and I got this. Forget it, Lord. I'm not sowing anymore. Same thing with your prayer. Somebody calls you for prayer. When you pray for someone, you're sowing seed for prayer that you may need. When you're lifting up someone, when you're interceding for, you're sowing seed. When you do something for someone, like Barb with your sowing, when you give someone out of the goodness of your heart something that you've made, God blesses it, that seed that you've sown. And you'll get it back somehow, some way. Maybe not the same dress, because you sure wouldn't be able to wear a dress that you made for a child, but God will bless that in other ways. That's what we've got to see. We are to be good stewards. We're to be used as He would have us to be used in the way He would have us to be used, and He will do the blessing, because He blesses, and He blesses abundantly. When you do give something, a good steward does not give grudgingly. Well, you know, I have to do this. I mean, after all, they gave to me, and so I have to give them back in return. When you get into that, you're ruining it for yourself. Because in the first place, you're not in any place, position, that you can receive a blessing of God if it came out of you and fell on you like a 2-ton stone. And sometimes I bet that's what God wants to do. What is it going to take to make us to wake up? God does not excuse sloppy stewardship. God has given us all a position of being a steward for Him. We are to bring Him glory. Now God used that rod. Moses gave that rod to God. God allowed that rod to be used. And what happened at the rock of Meribah? Didn't bring in God any glory, because Moses used it wrongly. You see, you can be using the vessel, or you can be using what God has given you, what you've given to God. What you have, God can use. But then, when God uses it, and uses it, and uses it, and you use it wrongly, you can take away from the glory of God. And we can't do that. So whatever we have is given to us to use for His glory. The attitude of our heart is something that cannot be hidden. I, as a pastor, can stand up here, and there are times when I can almost see, this one's receiving, this one's not. Sometimes it seems as if the words go out and bounce right back at me, like they're hitting that wall, like it's a ball that's bouncing back at me. Sometimes we can give a message And it's a spirit-filled message. It's right on target from God. And it's received like funk. Like it absolutely splats on the ground like a broken egg and accomplishes nothing. But we can't be moved by that. We have to be obedient to do what God told us to do because we are the stewards of His Word. But the Holy Spirit is the monitor of the attitude of your heart. You can hide from some people sometimes. You can put on a phony smile and you can pretend to say the right words. And I've seen that so many times in times past. People saying the right words and they are as phony as a $2 bill. You can have people that come up and say, "Oh, I love you, brother, sister," with honey dripping out of their lips. And you think to yourself, "Get away from me. You're just like a scorpion. I don't need it." That's right. When you get in an attitude, and we all get into times when we don't feel joy. We all get into times when we don't feel peace, when there's a turmoil inside. The Holy Spirit monitors the attitude of your heart. He can tell with every word that you say if you really mean it. He can tell by the attitude of your heart. Is your attitude of your heart, "Lord, here am I, use me. Take what I have. Take my ears. Let me be a good steward of my ears. Let them hear the right thing. Rock music isn't the right thing. Let me hear the right thing. Take my eyes, let them be good stewards for you. Let me read the right thing. Take my mouth, let it be a good steward for you. Let it speak the right thing. Take my hands, let my hands do what they find to do as unto you, not the wrong thing. Take my feet, my legs, let them walk where you want me to walk as a good steward for you, not where I want to go or not in the wrong places." Do it with the attitude of love. God is love. And that love is in you, because He put it in you just as sure as He put faith in you. Let that begin to be something that you cultivate so that you can be a good steward of it. God doesn't look at the outside. God looks at the inside. And I was telling somebody just this past week, I was in a church during the Woodstock days, and we had a bunch of young people come in their early 20s, hippies, bare feet they came in, long stringy hair, blue jeans, bare feet. What would you do if we had a motorcycle gang come roaring up the driveway and walking in here? Would you shake in your boots? Would you say, "What are they doing here? We don't want that kind here." Uh-uh. This isn't a church where we look at the outside. This is a church where we look as God looks with love. Those young people came into that church, and some of those older people in the church were appalled. They went to the pastor after church and said, "How can you let them come in here? How can you let those people come in here?" And the pastor said, "The Lord brought them here, and here's where they'll stay." And it wasn't very long until you saw those young people one by one coming up to the altar, giving their heart to the Lord. And it wasn't very long after that you saw the hair get cut shorter and then shorter. And then it was gradual. But by the end of the year, they were coming in with shoes. They were coming in with trimmed beards. They were coming in with haircuts. They were coming in with clean clothes. They were coming in and they were growing with the Lord. And two of those men have gone on to be in the ministry. Now, where would they be today if some mighty people in the church had said, "You can't come in here, not dressed like that"? You'll never get that at this church. And if I ever hear of anyone that does, they will be severely reprimanded. Who are we to think that we are greater? Who are we to think that we are on a higher level? Who are we to think that we have to talk down to individuals? Because when we begin to put our Bible under our arm, and when we begin to say, Oh, yes. We're so holy. Oh, yes. You know, someday you'll know what it's like. You are heading for a fall. You are heading for a fall because however you would like to cover it, it's pride. And God hates pride. There's no room for pride in a good steward. There's no room for judgment in a good steward. Luke 16:10 says that he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. When you're faithful with the smallest thing that you have, God will make you ruler over much. Look for opportunities to give. Look for opportunities to use your abilities for the Lord. Look for opportunities to use your talents for the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 tells us, you are elected of God. Know that you are elected. You are chosen of God. Let your work of faith and your labor of love be with patience and hope to His honor and glory. That's a good steward. Good stewards are good managers of their money. They spend their money wisely. There are so many Haitians that cram into churches on Sunday. And it's a sad thing because you see so many people that don't use their money wisely, especially people that don't have money. When they get money, they don't know what to do with it. We would pay the Haitians that work for us, and they would come back with these, love those boom boxes. Biggest boom box you could buy down in the marketplace. Nothing wrong with that if you have the money to do that, and you have the money for the tapes and the batteries to put in it. But when you spend 4 months' pay on that boom box and you don't know how you're going to eat or feed your family, it's not wisdom, not being a good steward. Take care of those things that are necessary first. Set the money aside. Keep it going until building until you have the money to get something like that. Haiti doesn't have credit cards. Praise God, because I wouldn't know what to do with it. You can't even make a phone call unless you pay for it. Except if you have an AT&T card from the United States. Because the Haiti telephone company doesn't have credit cards. They know they would never get the money. In fact, now with the embargo, it's a sad thing because there are a lot of them who are probably in church right now, praising the Lord and claiming to be good Christians, that are international operators, and they'll take your call and say, well, I'll only bill you for X amount of money if you slip me money on the side. Who loses? They lose in the long run because the phone company doesn't make the money to pay their salaries, and so eventually it's a chain reaction. You see, you can't rob your employer. Be a good steward of your time with your employer as well. If you work 8 hours, you work that 8 hours. If you're working in a factory, you don't ride that time out. A dear friend of mine worked for Western Electric for years. And good Christian people that she would work with would be on the line. They would sit, and they would talk, and they would do everything they could to get out of work. But man, they were right there for the paycheck at the end of the week. You get a 15-minute coffee break, take a 15-minute coffee break. Get a half-hour lunch, take a half-hour lunch. Do what you need to do, but in doing that, you're a good steward of the time and of the job that God has given you to do. Plus, you're a good testimony to your employer. He knows who he can trust. How do we think that Daniel rose to the top? He was honest. He was honest with the king's servants from even what he ate. Let us not eat this rich food. Let us eat this food and see if it doesn't make a difference. They didn't fake it. You can't fake it being a child of God. You can't fake it being a steward of God. You can't pretend to be something you're not, and you can't pretend to be not something that you are. Because God knows, and so does the Holy Spirit. When you are a good steward, stewards require carefulness and prudent management. They use what God has given them wisely. They give and do with the right attitude. when we have more people and when we have a choir. I don't want people in this choir, and I don't want people doing any position in this church if it's going to be, look at me. There is no look at me. It's we're working together for God. Whatever position you're in that position because you have a talent and an ability that you want to use for the glory of God. And if it's just to have people say, oh, well, yes, they're on the board, they sing in the choir, they're a Sunday school teacher, they do this, do that. That's not why you're doing it. And if it's the wrong attitude, it's not going to accomplish God's purpose, and it isn't needed by God. You give and you do as an act of worship to the Lord. You give as a sacrifice. Those Sunday school teachers miss the service. They get a tape, and that's a blessing. A free tape. That's a blessing. But they sacrifice their time in here. They sacrifice the presence of the Lord. They sacrifice those things. When you give a sacrifice, you're given to God. And you're given with all of your heart. Giving just to give or doing just to do is an unwise steward. Pray and ask God what He would have you to do, where He would have you to fit, what it is that He would have you to do. I have to tell you that as pastor of the church, I cleaned the office for how long? A couple years? Doing the toilets on Saturday and preaching on Sunday. You know what? I never minded that. And I never minded scrubbing the floors in Haiti and changing the dirty diapers and all that kind of stuff. Stuff needed to be done, I would do it. I never considered myself higher because I always said to the Lord, wherever you can use me for your glory is where I want to be. That's the attitude that God can use. That's a humble heart. It's one that's yielded to God. Doesn't matter. There are people that wouldn't clean the toilet. There are people that wouldn't sweep the floor. That's beneath me. I mean, after all, I'm a teacher. Well, with that kind of an attitude, God will never use you. Be willing to be used. Be willing to fit in. Wherever you see somebody that has a need, be willing to fit in. Older women, as we get more women in the church, they may say, I did my stint with my own kids. I don't need to be back in the nursery. Give it as a sacrifice. Look at the young women in here that have those kids 7 days a week. You can relieve them for an hour so that they can be blessed. If everybody takes their turn, you only miss once every maybe 5 or 6 weeks. Isn't that a sacrifice? A sacrifice of giving of yourself so that someone else can be a blessing and get blessed? That's how you can really be a blessing. Lord, here am I. Use me where you want me. You want me to wash the windows in the church? I'll do it, Lord. And I'll do it because I'll know they're your windows and you'll get the glory. Life is measured by the sacrifice and service you have, you give. It's not measured on your income and your possessions. The world measures it on your income and your possessions, but God doesn't. God measures it on your sacrifices and your service. What do you have that God hasn't given you in the first place? Nothing. If you're educated, God gave you your education. You don't have to be educated to be used by God. You don't have to have a list of college degrees as long as your arm. You don't have to have the word doctor before your name. God will use whom He will use. And it's a sad thing, but we have people that are in that mode. They can't receive because the person doesn't have a degree. That's sad, folks. There's no greater degree that you can get but than that of the Holy Spirit. God is the giver of the highest degrees that there are. Amen. 2 Samuel 24:24. David would not accept a free place to sacrifice. Somebody offered him a place to sacrifice so that the plagues could be finished, and he said no. He said he would not offer to the Lord something that cost him nothing. I will not sacrifice to you, Lord, something that doesn't cost me. you give your life to the Lord, it costs you something. God calls you into ministry, it costs you something. But you give it to the Lord. You give it to the Lord, and He blesses, and you become a blessing. A blessing to Him, and a blessing to everyone around you, and a blessing to the church. When you begin to lose the place of being a blessing, stop. Get in your closet and say, Lord, something's wrong here. I'm not blessing anybody. Something's wrong. Let God begin to right that wrong. Let Him begin to show you. Let your body, Paul tells us, be a sacrifice unto the Lord. Let everything your body does be a sacrifice. Let the words of your mouth be a sacrifice. Do you scream and holler at your kids? You would like it off this phone, I'm going to kill you. And then with the next one, oh yes, Sister So-and-so. Well, you know, you have to move in line with your family. You can't do that. It's a double standard. I know how frustrating that is when the phone cord only reaches so long and the kids are just out of reach. Mine used to be there a lot of times. I know what it's like to sit in the choir and to look out and see my kids doing this and doing that. And I'm thinking to myself, and I'm trying to talk to them with my eyes, but they knew what I meant. I know what that's like. But don't let the wrong thing. You're steward of your words. What kind of a child is it that says, yeah, my mom said she'd kill me when she gets off the phone? First of all, God's the giver of life. He's not the giver of death. The second thing you're doing is showing the child that you're not where you should be in love. The third thing you're doing is threatening them when they shouldn't be threatened like that. You can correct them, but you don't have to do it with threat of their life. And the fourth thing is they know you're not going to kill them in the fourth place. So why make yourself look like a bad steward? Our children learn what they see. You may not realize that, those of you that are younger, until your children are grown. But what a blessing it is to me to have my children write me letters and say what an example I was of them and how they hope and they pray that they can be a mother to their children like I was to them. That to me is worth all the gold in the world. Have a mother that never gives up on you. That's always there to encourage you. Those things are important. That's part of being a good steward. It begins at home. Husband, it begins, yeah, that's right, keep waving your fingers. It begins with you showing that love and affection to your mate. That's where your children are going to see it. If they don't, it's going to have to be a pure gift from God. It is, really. I grew up in a home where I never saw my dad and mom kiss each other hello, good night, goodbye, anything. I never saw my dad come up and put his arm around my mother. I grew up in a home where nobody said, I love you, when I left. They loved me, and I knew that. They did the best for me, and I knew that. But when I came into a place in the Lord, I didn't say, well, they never showed me that love. I began to say to them, when I would come in, kiss them hello. When I would leave, kiss them goodbye. When I would leave, I'd say, I love you. And it's taken a lot of years, but what a joy it was when my mom and dad said, I love you too, in return. You see, sometimes we take those things and we take them for granted. I'm sure they didn't realize it because both of them grew up in homes where there wasn't that kind of love shown either. But we can change the world by being good stewards of what God has had us and given us. The gift of love is something that God puts within each of us. Those things have to be cultivated. They have to be used. Let your children see love. Let them be disciplined, yes. But you discipline them with love, not in anger. That's not being a good steward. You don't just haul off and wrap them. You tell them no one or two times, and you say, this is the last time I'm coming. Now the next time, there's going to be a punishment. You don't have to smack them. You can begin to take things away from them. Take a toy away if they throw it. Make them sit on a chair. Those are things of discipline, but they're disciplined God's kind of way. How many times would God smack us around if that's the kind of God he was? Man, we wouldn't even be here today. Talk about abuse for the way that we abuse God and our position in him. He's a God of love, and he loves us, and he wants us to do our best to please him, yes, but to show his love to others. You and I are his hands extended. We need to reach out and keep on reaching. Amen. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that from time to time that you do have to correct us. But that, Father God, it's always in your word that you never need to zap us or hit us or do whatever. And so, Father God, we rejoice that we are your children. We're joint heirs with Jesus. We're of the house of Jehovah. We're of the household of faith and love and joy and peace. We're of the household of you. Oh, Father God, what a privilege. Let each one that hears this tape look into their own heart. Look at their own attitude. Look at their own reasons, their motives for doing things. Show us, Holy Spirit, by the power and the witness of your Spirit, the things that we need to correct, the things that we need to get into position so that God can move in our lives, in our families, in our jobs, in our positions, in our church. Show us those things, Lord, so that we can be ever aware of them and we can move on in the love that you would have us to, bringing in more and more souls. Father God, let the place be, as Brother Osteen's, an oasis of love, where we know no color, we know no race, we know no creed, we know no position, no status in life, no male or female, no rich or poor, but that we love just because we love. Bring those in, Lord, that are seeking love. We'll be your hands extended. We'll bring you glory. We'll be good stewards, using all that you've given us. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.